We're going to start in James chapter 5, verse 16 tonight. Tonight we're going to talk about developing a healthy prayer life. We're going to skip down to the underlined part. It says, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power, produces wonderful results. Your prayers, church, are powerful. Your prayers produce results. How? Well, when we pray, we're tapping into the power source that is not of ourselves. Prayer is the generator that causes the power of God to flow through whatever channel we make available to God through our petition. God's power, when we pray, flows through us the same way that electricity flows through a power line. And when we make ourselves available, when we make ourselves a channel for God to flow through, His power will move through us. You know, the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Ask and you shall receive. Well, if we're to ask, and knowing that we ask, we shall receive, what do you think would happen if we don't ask? Hey, we got some scholars here tonight. We won't receive. Prayer is also a healthy release valve to whatever pressures we may be feeling. Everybody gets overwhelmed sometimes. But the avenue that we choose to vent those overwhelmed feelings determines our deliverance. Who will we trust? Who are we going to put our trust in? When there's no one left in our phone to text or to call. When it's too late at night and there's nobody else to talk to. During our darkest hour, who are we going to put our trust in? I read a quote this week I want to share with you. It said, when we depend upon organizations, we get what organizations can do. When we depend upon education, we get what education can do. When we depend upon man, we get what man can do. But when we depend upon prayer, we get what God can do. See, prayer is the apex of kingdom business. Prayer is the greatest agent for change in any area of your life. There's nothing else in the universe that can change your circumstance as efficiently and effectively as prayer. Now, having said all that, I'm going to go out on a limb tonight and tell you that I think developing a healthy prayer life has been one of, if not the single most difficult area to establish since giving my life to Christ. Well, why is that? Well, first, it's hard. There's so many distractions. There's so many things that can get in your way. There, you know, I can get up in the morning with great intentions to get my pray on. And while I'm pouring my coffee, I think and wonder, well, I wonder who won that game last night. I'll just go check the score, and then I'll get my pray on. Well, then 30 minutes later, it's time to get the kids up and ready for school, and I think, oh, okay, you know what, I'll catch up on it later. You know what, I'll skip lunch today. That's it, I'll pray through lunch today. Well, then the reality of the day sets in, and all craziness happens, and before I know it, I'm driving home, and I'm thinking, okay, I'll squeeze it in this evening sometime. We'll have the kids watch a show before bed, and I'll do my prayer there. But then I get home and the kids have my wife so wound up that the house is like a POW camp and she's got all the warmth of a starving grizzly bear. And I miss my prayer time. Sorry, honey, you're beautiful. Before I know it, it's bedtime and I went through the whole day without even uttering an amen. Am I talking to anybody tonight? Amen. You know, for most people, prayer is the most neglected part of their spiritual life. Why? Well, it's the thing that we feel the least like doing. It's often affected by our mood. It's affected by our motivation. It's affected by our level of sleepiness or the pressures that we're under. Pastor's been talking about resistance training, and I'm finding that the path of least resistance is not the path that leads to growth. Sometimes, we need to stare the resistance right in the face and say, oh no, we're doing this. And tonight I want to encourage you that there has never been a better time to build, maintain, or restore a healthy prayer life. Think about it. If there's this much resistance in our flesh to pray, it's probably going to be good for us. I don't know about you, but my body doesn't resist chocolate the way it resists prayer. I don't hold that Hershey bar there and say, I'm going to eat this and force myself through it. That's not hard to do. My body doesn't resist sleeping the way it resists prayer. It's easy to hit the snooze button and go back to sleep. My body doesn't resist taking the day off of exercising or resist giving up on my diet for the day. That's easy to do. It is easy to not exercise. It is easy to eat whatever I feel like eating that day. See, the flesh always wants the easy road. And as a result, the flesh always sells us short of God's best. And if we're not careful, the flesh will lead us in worse directions than that. Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 8. It says, for to be carnally or fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity or separation against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. I'm not perfect. None of us are perfect. But can I tell you, I want to please God. I want to be pleasing to God. I want God to look at my life and say, son, I'm pleased with you. I want that. He's done so much for me. God literally makes my dreams come true. He makes plans and purposes come to pass in my life that I could have never imagined myself. And you know, I want to be pleasing to God. So when I see scriptures like Romans 8:8, you know, I know that living a life in the flesh is not an option for me because it stops me from being pleasing to God and furthermore leads me on a path to my own demise. So what's the answer? The answer is to learn to live and walk with the Spirit of God. Just like that scripture says, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I want that. I'll have that. Life and peace? I want that. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is the mind of the Spirit. How do we have the mind of Christ? It comes through living according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. It comes through time and fellowship with God. Paul says in Romans 1:9, he said, for God is my witness. It's quite a bold statement. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. Paul said, I serve with my spirit. He didn't say, I serve with the strength that's in my natural body. He didn't say, I serve the way I feel like serving. He didn't say, I serve if I'm in a good mood. He said, I serve with my spirit. You know, I looked at that verse for years and I said, how did he pray without ceasing? That's not possible. The Bible says it happened, so it has to be true. By fleshly means, it isn't possible. But by serving God in the Spirit, not only is it possible, it's probable. What is it to serve God in the Spirit? It isn't spending 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on your knees in prayer. You would never get anything done. But it is living your life according to Colossians 3:23. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. And Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I can't learn how to pray and stay in God's presence indefinitely by my own willpower. I can't will myself to do that. There's a lot of strong men in this church. They're not powerful enough in the flesh to will themselves to stay in the presence of God 24/7. It isn't possible. But you know, I can learn how to live an hour of a day devoted to him in my spirit. I can start there. I can take an hour and this hour I'm going to live it to God. And then, you know, eventually I can live 3 hours a day devoted to Him. And as I begin to serve Him in my spirit, eventually I can live 8 hours of my day serving God with everything I've got. And eventually I can live 12 hours of my day devoted to Him. And over the course of time, I can live all day devoted to Him. And then over the course of more time, I can live every day devoted to Him as I learn how to serve Him in the Spirit and not with my flesh. Let's get there, church. Let's develop and learn to maintain a healthy prayer life. I believe that for some of you, tonight is going to be the night. Tonight's going to be a turning point that moves you into the fast lane for kingdom living. So where do we begin? Well, thankfully, we don't have to look further than what we've already got. The five is the best starting point that you need. Pastor, this is one of the best ideas Pastor Josh, through the Holy Spirit, has ever come up with. The five is the best starting point we need. These five areas, inconsistency, are everything. And I mean everything you need to build a rock-solid foundation for Christ. Reading every day, 3 chapters per day has been our suggested goal. If you need structure, the app lays it out, the Renewal Fuel, which is, it's in your bulletin on Sundays. It's also on the app, and it lays it out for you. You've heard us say the app will even read it to you, and it's not a machine. It's a real person. It's actually a pleasing voice that reads it to you. I see people nodding, so some of you know what I'm talking about. Prayer every day. Shoot for 20 minutes. That's our goal. We're going to shoot for 20 minutes per day. Maybe you need to start with 5. But shoot for 20 minutes per day. More minutes with God has been our rallying cry since the beginning of the year. More minutes with God. 1 more minute with God today. 5 more minutes with God today. Serving. You know, I talk to a lot of people, and I hear people say sometimes, they say, I'm so filled up. I need a place to release it all. I feel like God's just showing me all these amazing things and just loading all these amazing things on me, and I feel like I just don't have a release valve to let it all out. Well, start by serving in a ministry. Come clean with us on Thursday. Come serve as a greeter. Come serve as an usher. Come play a guitar. Come help in children's ministry. You'll find that release you're looking for. God didn't desire for us to fill up with all this wonderful presence and wonderful knowledge and then just be a big balloon bobbing around a seat somewhere. God gives that to us so that we can release it and change lives for other people. Fasting. I know fasting isn't the most popular subject, but it's powerful. 1 day per month, push the plate aside. I've heard some people doing some pretty creative things. Some people are doing a straight fast where you just don't eat that whole day and you get up the next day and eat. I've heard of some people doing the Jewish fast, which is sundown to sundown. That's a strict 24-hour fast. Some people are fasting lunches for a week and replacing that time with prayer. Some people, and these people are very brave, some people are fasting entertainment. You want to grow? Tell Pat Sajak and Vanna White that you'll catch up with them tomorrow night and replace that with prayer time. You'll grow. Giving. Learn to trust God with your finances and yield to Him. You know, I hear people say, more often than I'd like to admit, they say, I want to go deep. I want to go deeper with God. I want to go deep. And you know, that sounds great on the outside. But the truth is, most people aren't really looking to go deep. They're looking to go weird. Well, why? Because deep isn't some floaty place. Deep is simplicity mastered. Paul was deep. And his innermost desire was to be like Christ. Christ was deep. And his entire life was dedicated to service. Colossians 1:28-29 in the Message says, we preach Christ, warning people not to add to the message. We teach in a spirit of profound common sense so that we can bring each person to maturity. That's what God desires. And I love this. It says, to be mature is to be basic. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that different from the mindset many of us have? To be mature is to be basic. Christ, no more, no less. And Paul said, that's what I'm working so hard at, day after day, year after year, doing my best with the energy God so generously gives me. True depth, church, comes through consistent application of the simple. True depth comes through consistent application of the simple. You want to know what deeper looks like? Here's what it looks like. I want to go deep, so I'm going to dig deeper into God's word. I want to go deep, so I'm going to give 5 more minutes with God today. I want to go deep, so I'm going to serve in a ministry. I'm going to serve like Paul did. I'm going to serve like Jesus did. I want to go deep, so I'm going to fast, and I'm going to desire, as Job said, his word more than my necessary food. I want to go deep, so I'm going to give deeper. You know, without developing these 5 items as the bedrock of your faith, you'll go deep, all right, but once you get there, the holes in your boat will start popping, and before you know it, you're back at spiritual shipwreck. Church, we're going to go deep, and frankly, if you don't realize it, we're pretty deep already. We're deep in the presence of God in this place, but let's get the foundation shored up. Let's do the things that cost our flesh something. More minutes with God, service with the heart of Christ, giving from a submitted wallet. So what does a healthy prayer life look like? Well, a healthy prayer life is refreshing. It's vibrant. It's energizing. Isaiah 40:31 says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." You know, since making the 5 a solid part of my walk with God this year, can I tell you I have seen the best results. I am so excited just to share this with you of everything that God has done, even in my household in the last 6 weeks since we've just taken this, the 5 as our rallying cry. The 5 has provided the structure that many of us need to our devotional time. Since applying these principles more consistently, I can tell you that in just 6 weeks, my wife and I have seen the following changes. Our attitudes have been better. And not just a little bit, but like 180 better. Well, why is that? Well, when you commit without compromise to replenish your energy with Him every day, well, then the Holy Spirit starts to tap you throughout the day. He reminds you who you're serving. He reminds you that you're serving in the Spirit and not the flesh. He reminds you why you're serving Him. Patience has increased. Who couldn't use a little more patience, right? Patience with people. Patience with children, in particular, my children. Patience with waiting on God in prayer. You know, sometimes it takes a moment. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time. Patience in prayer. Joy has increased. You know, spending that time with the Father is time where the anointing of His joy can drip onto your life. If you hang out with God, He starts to rub off on you. Physical health has improved. Noticed a sharp decline in stress levels. I've lost weight. Jen gained weight. Which I know women, but my wife actually tries to gain weight. You all hate her now, don't you? Response to adversity improved significantly. Rather than getting flustered under pressure, the consistent time with God empowers our first response of turning to Him in faith. It's been no coincidence. Consistency with God equals a better life. It makes us more useful for service. I know this might not be the most exciting topic you've ever heard, but I'm going to tell you it works. I'm going to tell you when you're in it, you're going to find it exciting because your entire life is going to feel better. It's going to look better. You're going to be healthier. You're going to be more in line with what God's looking for in your life. I wouldn't trade that for anything. You know, since our main focus this evening is on the development of a healthy prayer life, well, what does 20 minutes of prayer look like? What ingredients typically make up our prayer time? I mean, Grace puts in 20 minutes brushing her teeth. Well, finally, firstly, it doesn't look like legalism. You know, I use a timer on my phone to just to help me. But can I tell you that sometimes I stop at 16 minutes? Yesterday I went 45. This morning I went 18. Relax. It's not about the legalism side of it. It's just get in His presence daily. It isn't a stat line on the back of your prayer baseball card of how many prayer minutes you logged this season. ingredients of a healthy prayer life, praise. Praise is so important. Just working praise, working gratitude into our daily lives, working thanksgiving in every single day. Praise Him for the day. Thank Him for your life and your calling. Thank you for your family and the wonderful things He's done and provided. Tell Him what you love about Him. How cool is that to talk to God and just say, God, here's what I love about you. Here's what I think is so awesome about you. That would make you feel good, wouldn't it, if somebody came up to you and said, Jim, here's what I think is awesome about you. Imagine how God would feel if we start talking to Him like that. God, here's what I think is so amazing about you. Ingredients of a healthy prayer life. Well, confession of sin and repentance. Ask the Holy Spirit, is there something I need to repent of? Or, you know, like if you're like me, I already know what I need to repent of by the time I come to that point. But confessing your sin and repenting. You know, prayers of petition, asking Him for what you need or desire. Praying for people, for family members, for church members, for our pastors and leadership team. I like what Billy Graham said. He said, heaven is full of answers to prayer for which no one ever bothered to ask. Heaven is full of answers to prayer for which no one ever bothered to ask. Other ingredients of a prayer life. Tell Him your troubles. Talk to Him. I'll be honest with you. I had a situation recently that troubled me. And I walked in this sanctuary. I just walked laps around it and just talked to God the same way I'm talking to you right now. And just told Him, here's what's bothering me. Here's what I don't understand. Here's what's confusing me. Here's what I don't have an answer to, and I can't figure it out, and I need you to help me with this. And I talk to Him just like a tell him your troubles. He wants you to express yourself to Him. Give thanks for all the good things in your life. And when you're done, give thanks that He's taking care of things you just asked for as if they're already done. Begin to thank Him like He did it. Because he did, and you're about to see it happen. Begin to thank Him. Praise Him on credit, Pastor says. He's good for it. Just some additional things, and I don't always pray these things every day, but sometimes I'll start naming things that I need to do that day and asking for His wisdom and guidance in completing that task. Sometimes I pray for specific needs or financial needs or things that we're believing God for. Sometimes I pray about different attributes of God. I'll tell you in my own life, this year I'm praying for the joy of God. I want more joy in my life. I don't want to just be a happier person. I want to be a joyful person. And that's just, you know, one fruit of the Spirit that I've been praying for consistently that God continued to develop in me this year. So when you're praying for me, go ahead and pray that too, that John be joyful. I pray for the government. How many of you know the government needs our prayers? Pray for Israel. Pray for law enforcement. Pray for missionaries around the world. One thing I try to do every single day is pray in my spirit language, prayer in the Holy Spirit. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you should be using that every single day. It edifies you. It builds you up. Sometimes the Spirit will pray through you and pray situations through you during that time. It's a way that you can be a beacon to God, that He can use you in prayer. For me personally, I almost always read my Bible before praying. Pastor Josh is the opposite. He prays before he reads. But for me personally, I'll often meditate on the passages of scriptures that I just read. And these are just things. You know, you can fill 20 minutes pretty fast. When, you know, get a prayer card. Write down a bunch of things you want to pray for. Or get a couple prayer cards and rotate them so you're not praying for the same thing all the time. But God still does significant things in the lives of those who pray. Maintaining a healthy prayer life is not easy. There are so many pitfalls that try to come between us in our prayer time. There's so many hindrances to a healthy prayer life. And I think one of the biggest hindrances is busyness. We're busy people. We're all busy people. Jesus addressed this in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. He said, now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Well, therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. You know, often we take more of a Martha approach to life, and we let our tasks for the day become more pressing than the time spent in his presence. We rationalize and we say, well, I can't pray. I can't pray right now. I gotta get this done. I don't have time to pray. I've got work to do. I put this challenge forward to a young man in Revolution Youth Group several years ago. He told me that same thing. He said, Mr. Weil, I have way too much to do. I'm involved in too many things in school. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time for God. And I challenged him. And I said, you know, your devotional time with God is no different than tithing your time. If you'll give God this week, and I challenged him, I said, this week, give God the first part of your day. I said, he'll help you manage the rest of your day. And can I tell you, this young man came back to me a week later at youth group, and he said it worked. He said, I can't believe it worked. And then he said, and I thought this was great. He said, not only did I get all my work done, but I had more time to myself this week than in any other week I've had recently. It's tithing our time. We do it with our finances, do it with our time. We give God the first part of our day, and we let him work out the rest of our day. I saw a quote this week. It said, forgive us for thinking that prayer is a waste of time, and help us to see that without prayer, our work is a waste of time. You know, sometimes we don't pray because we have a perception that prayer is boring. We have a perception that prayer is uninteresting. But you know, prayer is just like any other skill. It needs to be developed. I'm a music teacher, so I understand music things. Piano players, they hit what we call the wall in piano. It usually comes with a young player when they've been playing maybe about 18 months to the two-year period. They hit the wall. The wall is where the piano parts become such that they need more dexterity between their two hands, where they have to move the left hand one way and the right hand another way. And that point of the wall is where most people, if they're going to quit piano, most of them quit right there because it's really hard. But if they keep playing through that, there's like a click that happens. And all of a sudden it flows and their brain adjusts. And all of a sudden now they can go and they can play through that. And it just unlocks an unbelievable amount of music they can play. Guitar players. When I started here at the church, I taught myself how to play guitar. I'm not a great guitar player. I'm a rhythm guitar player. But I can tell you that playing guitar is painful in the beginning. You have to develop these calluses on your fingers. Woody, your whole fingers are probably calluses right now. But it takes 3 to 4 weeks of playing every single day to develop these calluses on your fingers. I can tell you, it hurts. You're holding down a chord there. There's days where I'm just kind of gritting my teeth, strumming through. But you have to keep playing through it. I thought I'd be clever and look up online and say, all right, are there any ways to avoid this? Because this is miserable playing like this. And all the guitar teachers, even online, they say, play through the pain. Play through the pain. Play through the pain. And you know what? After you know a couple weeks, the pain goes away, and then you can play forever, and it doesn't hurt at all. Well, church tonight, I want to tell you that we need to pray through the pain. We need to develop our prayer lives to a point where we pray through the pain. We develop our prayer lives where we can get into the presence of God much more quickly, and it will happen if we'll begin a consistent time of praying every single day. Your prayer life can be exciting. It can be energizing. God wants our time with him to be interesting and fun and fulfilling. And if your prayer time isn't like that, don't beat yourself up. Just keep at it. I'll be honest, not every time I pray is the most exciting time. But sometimes it's the most exciting thing ever. Because sometimes God gives you direction in your life during that time. Or sometimes I'm just exhausted and I go to prayer, and by the time I'm done praying, I feel like I've had 2 cups of coffee and I'm ready to go. I mean, God uses that to energize us. But you know, sometimes we have to examine if we're not seeing results in our prayer life. Have we considered the possibility of a roadblock? You know, there's things that can kind of get in the way of our prayer life. One of the major things holding back many of God's people is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness just clogs up the pipes, so to speak. Jesus said in Mark 11, 25 and 26, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, anything against anyone, anything against anyone. Forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. You know, unforgiveness is so dangerous to kingdom advancement and healthy prayer life. Jesus says that if we don't forgive others, God won't forgive us. We know to forgive, it costs us something in the flesh because we don't want to absorb a blow. What we really want to do is we really want to take revenge. We really want to blurt out something right back at that person. Or now everything's on social media, so we want to type it up really quick and send it back to them fast. But you know, after that statement Jesus made, we can't afford not to forgive. Unforgiveness puts up a blockage in our prayer lives, which makes it so difficult and oftentimes unlikely to hear from God until that blockage is removed. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. I'll be honest with you, there's times I've prayed and I'd say, God, do I have any unforgiveness in my life? And God will call something to me that I didn't even realize. I'm like, yeah, that's right, you're right, you're right. I have not forgiven that person. You're right, God. The Holy Spirit will call that, and then I say, okay, well, I want to be right with you, so I do. I do forgive that person in Jesus' name. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. Other roadblocks, complaining, anger, strife. These are big ones. These are ones that we're all working on. These are ones I'm working on. One way to shut down the presence of God in your prayer life is complaining. Complaining, it's like poison to the atmosphere of your home and your life. It chokes the joy out of any room or any conversation, and it leaves people around you feeling annoyed and irritable. Proverbs 29:22 says, an angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression. You know, complaining leads to anger. Anger leads to strife, and strife leads to even worse things, even worse sins. James said in 1:19, chapter 1:19-20, he said, therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Listen, but be slow to speak. Why? Well, the words that we choose to use are the indicators of the direction our life is about to go. Words of life will lead us to increase life. Words of complaint will lead us elsewhere. And I'll tell you, God does not look favorably on complaint. In fact, Numbers chapter 11, verse 1, there's several places dealing with Israel that are similar to this. And it says, now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them, and that's not the good fire, that's not the Holy Spirit fire, that's the bad fire. And it consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. You know, complaint displeases the Lord. God hears our complaints. A few years ago, Pastor John Rassisi came and ministered here. Some of you may remember that. He was a mentor to Pastor Josh. And he did a sermon, and he was talking about blockages in our relationship with God. And he had a good term for it. He called it spiritual constipation. And I thought that was hilarious. And at the end, he said, if that's you and you've got spiritual constipation, he said, I want you to line up along the front here. And I got right up because I was spiritually constipated at that moment. And I came down front here, and he ministered down the line, and he got to me, and he paused for a second, and he said, it was real quick, he said, it's your words. He said, I curse the words you've been using in the name of Jesus. He didn't ask me what I needed prayer for. He didn't ask me what my situation was. He just diagnosed. He said, it's your words. I curse those words you've been using in the name of Jesus. Now, what the situation was that he never found out, because I don't think I've seen him since, is that Jen and I, we had a financial issue in our home. And this was about 6-7 years ago, I believe. And we were hurting. But rather than trusting God, I was bellyaching about it and bellyaching about how, man, we need more money, we need more money. And after he said that, I was really careful about my words. And within 6 weeks, I believe it was $6,800 came into our home within 6 weeks. And that was 7 years ago. And that, you know, you learn a lesson pretty quick that way. But complaint was the blockage in my life, And thank God there was a man of God that came in here and could diagnose that for me, because who knows how long it would have taken me to discover that on my own at the time. Other things that get in the way of our prayer life: double-mindedness and doubt. James chapter 1, verse 6 through 8 says, "But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." In order to have a healthy prayer relationship with God, we can't be wishy-washy with God. I like what John Wesley said. He said, "God will do nothing on earth except in answer to believing prayer." I like that quote. God will do nothing on earth except in answer to believing prayer. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." See, double-mindedness is not pleasing to God. God is looking for the believer, not the, "Well, maybe he will, maybe he won't" crowd. "If it be your will, God." He's looking for a believer who says, "I know your will because I found it right here in your word. And I'm going to confess that as my promise." God's looking for people who are going to get a hold of his word and make his words our words and transform our lives. Double-mindedness leads to a stagnant prayer time because it's difficult to receive from God or to see any results whatsoever. That leads people to doubt the power of prayer. And it just creates this cycle of double-mindedness and doubt, where we say, "Well, I have been praying," when in our hearts we really haven't been praying. We've been going back and forth and we're not seeing results. And then we get frustrated and the cycle just keeps going on and on and on. Well, break the cycle of double-minded thinking by becoming single-minded. The Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding." Lean not on your own understanding. It said Sunday, God isn't looking for our opinion on the matter. He wants us to be in line with his opinion on the matter, because his opinion is correct. "In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." Trust God, church. Trust God. Trust God with all your heart. Don't think beyond the situation. Don't try to reason out a solution under your own power. And once you commit something to God in prayer, your job is to trust him and acknowledge him in all your ways. Now, we trust and we continue to trust. We can't approach God and ask for his counsel and then turn around and lose our cool when every bump of the road comes along. Because that's double-minded behavior. And these are all areas that maybe if you haven't been seeing the results that you're looking for in your prayer life, look at these things. These aren't condemnation points. These aren't things to beat yourself up. These are practical things that you can come to God real quick and say, "Oops, God, I've had unforgiveness in my life. I'm sorry, I repent, and now I'm right with you. Oops, God, you know what? He's right. I've been double-minded. I've been going back and forth about this. Lord, I'm sorry, and I'm in line with your word." That's how quick and how easy it is. Not everything needs to be a process. Some things can just be like that and done. "God, I'm sorry. I want to come in line with your word on that right now." Boom, done. It's what we do daily that determines our success and defeat. I think sometimes we forget that the Bible didn't happen in a day. We read these great stories. You know, Abraham waited, some people believe he waited as long as 20 years for Isaac to be born. What did Abraham do for those 20 years? He knew the same thing you're doing. He went to work. He went to bed. He cooked dinner. He lived his life. And that's us. We're going to live our lives every single day. The five is a great tool to help structure your time with God. A healthy prayer life is a consistent prayer life. It's thankful. It holds its tongue at times. It forgives. It remains in faith at all times. And 2016, I'm so encouraged by this year. This is a year of significance. And what we do every single day matters. And you know, I believe in you. I believe in this ministry. I believe in what God's doing in this place. I believe this is going to be the best year that we have all seen together. And it's going to start by us grasping these concepts, grasping this consistency. And we're going to see just our level as a congregation continue to grow and continue to rise.